Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So yesterday, I was having a bit of a WhatsApp conversation with Andrew Fox, with Major Andrew Fox, and we were just chatting about certain things, and then we got on to what is happening in Iran. And I write, he writes, just need Trump to finish the Iran buffoonery. That's what he writes, and I responded by saying, "Yeah, I am getting a bit tired of them. I'm going to bomb the hell out of them by 6 p.m. No, wait, I'll extend the ceasefire. It's getting tiring." And the major responds to me, "TACO, all in capital letters." So normally I'm quite good at this stuff, but I had no idea. So I said to everybody around, "Does anybody know what TACO means?" So I quickly looked it up, and I went to ChatGPT, and I realized it means Trump always chickens out. TACO. Now, I'd never heard that before, which I was a bit embarrassed by because I think I'm on top of these things. But does Trump always chicken out? It's it is becoming a little bit predictable. You know, you've got until this time, and then the gates of hell are going to open up, and then it doesn't. And I'm obviously not saying that he needs to bomb the hell out of anybody, but it really does seem to be a bit of a pattern, the extension of these ceasefire windows. And we wanted to understand a little bit more about it. Joining us is Major General Yaakov Amidror from the Jerusalem Institute of Security Studies. A very, very good morning to you. I'm presuming that you know or have heard TACO or TACO, Trump always chickens out. Have you heard that expression?
Yes, I know that those who don't like Trump mm-hmm. are blaming him from being, happy trigger guy, mm-hmm. going to wars which should not go to, mm-hmm. and at the same time that he is a chicken. I understand that in politics you can say both at the same time.
Exactly. it's like being Jewish with the capitalists and the communists.
So yeah. with all due respect, mm-hmm. I mean, he's the president of the United States of America, mm-hmm. and he's negotiating according to his ways. It's not always well understood outside. But I can tell you when it was not clear if he's coming to bomb Fordo in June, mm. A place in Iran in which they enrich uranium, and we Israelis didn't have a good solution to. Everyone said, at the end, the Americans will not appear.
Right.
And he came.
Yeah, well,
and he did
100%.
And we are now after almost 6 weeks, during which together, the United States of America Air Force and the Israeli Air Force, day and night, attacked inside Iran. All the industry, the military industry, the nuclear project, the missile project, the steel ability to produce the petrochemical installations, everything which is connected to the military capability of Iran, the Navy, the Air Force, everything is gone. Mm-hmm. So to say that he is a chicken, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not always he's doing what he promised to do. It's part
right.
of the negotiation
yes.
way.
Yes.
But to say that he's a chicken, I think it's not connected to the reality.
Right.
And history will not judge Trump as a chicken.
I tend to agree with you, but let's talk about what is going on with the ceasefire, because it does seem to be one-sided. We don't really have a sense of what is going on in Iran. What are your thoughts on it?
Look, we don't know what's going on in Iran because the Iranians close all the internet connection. We don't mm. know what's going inside with the civilians. The Iranians are cheating all the time about their situation, and no one really knows what the situation is. Maybe the intelligence organizations, I hope that they have more information than us. What we know for sure that the Iranians thought that they have kind of a leverage to close the Hormuz Straits and the Straits of Hormuz, you have to say. And what Trump said, you know, if it's closed, it's closed. You cannot export oil through the Strait of Hormuz, and the Iranians lost in one decision all the ability to export the oil, and they don't have money coming in. So economically, it's a huge blow to Iran. The Iranians tried to say after the ceasefire in Lebanon, no, because of the ceasefire of Lebanon, we are ready to open the Straits of Hormuz. And Trump said, guys, the Straits of Hormuz is closed not because of you, it's closed because of me. And they remain closed. So I think that by that, the president took from the Iranians the maybe the most important leverage they had. The most important leverage that they had.
Mm-hmm.
What will come out of the negotiations now, I don't know. But the leverage that the Iranians had, the Strait of Hormuz in the hands of the Americans now, not the hand of the Iranians. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we understand that for Iran, blocking the Strait of Hormuz is, with it blocked, they lose out on a significant amount of income, pretty much their only income at this stage, if they can't export oil or have received funds for ships traveling through the strait. This really does put Iran financially in a very, very difficult position, doesn't it?
Yes, it is. And during the war, the Iranians continued to export oil. It was the interest of Americans that Iran will not be without any money, because they thought about the regime, not about the people of Iran. But at the end of the day, it was understood that the Iranians are using it to blackmail the Americans and the world. So the decision was, okay, if you don't let others to go through the Strait of Hormuz, you will not go through it as well. And for America, it's a problem because the price of oil around the world is surging, but for the Iranians, it's critical.
Yeah, it's so in other words, the longer this goes on, to some extent, yes, on the one side, Iran has the opportunity to regroup and reorganize, but on the flip side of it is they are being put under tremendous pressure financially. What does that mean? What does this going on mean for the Americans and for Israel?
For the Americans, I can tell you from open sources that the Americans send here to the Middle East huge amount of munition and so on. So they are reorganized for the continuation of the war. We in Israel are shaping our plans, having more intelligence, because we are continue to collect in Iran. Our spies are working very, very hard, so that if the war will be resumed, the list of targets that we will have will be as good as it was in the beginning of the war. And you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of a race between two sides who will be better organized for the next stage,
for the next round.
And I believe that the American-Israeli side will be better organized than the Iranians. The Iranians are now under siege in a way.
That's exactly what I was. That's what I was thinking.
And it's not easy in these circumstances to organize yourself when you lost the whole leadership.
You lost the leadership. You've lost a lot of the technology, the buildings, the infrastructure, and you're under financial pressure. That makes it a very, very difficult place to be. Do you think we are out of time? But I'm just curious as to your thoughts on this. Do you think that there is a reasonable chance of the ceasefire being converted into something longer term, or do you think this is going to go back to an active war situation?
I don't know, because you said something which is not connected to the reality of Iran. Reasonable.
I was wondering, what did I say? So, what did I say? Yeah, I used the word reasonable. I hear you.
I don't know. I don't know how far the Iranians are ready to pay the price of destroyed Iran.
Very interesting.
And, you know, it's leaders which we think ideologically and not about their own people.
And also,
we
can't help but think through a, you know, with a logical, rational approach, and that isn't always correct. We do need to leave it there. Major General Yaakov Amidror, thank you for that fascinating conversation. It's from the Jerusalem Institute of Security Studies.